Wonderful thought there. I wonder if I'd done my best for Jesus. He has done so much for us. We should desire to do our best. Even in Colossians chapter number 3, you're going to see some verses that even talks about, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, meaning that you're going to do your best and not unto men. So it's important tonight as we look at this passage of Scripture. We began something this morning, talked about acceptable in thy sight in Psalms 19, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We're going to continue a little bit on that. It's not going to be exactly what I was thinking was going to be this morning. This idea of forgiveness is something that is, it's got a lot of questions. It's got a lot of different issues. Unpacking it is going to take probably more than just another service. So probably in a few weeks after Patriot Sunday, we'll look at it a little bit closer and a little bit more. But I think we need to make a decision first and foremost. Do I want what God wants? Today when we looked at that, we talked about secret faults and how man knows his error and talked about presumptuous sins. You put all that together, you wrap it all up, and you're wondering, okay, have I done my best for Jesus? Because oftentimes in our hearts and in our lives, we're just kind of cruising by and we live day by day by day and just don't put into the equation a question like, have I done my best for Jesus? Or like I said in Psalms 19, verse 14 this morning, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. And is that really what I'm looking for in my life? Is what I'm saying and how I'm acting acceptable in God's sight? It might be acceptable in my sight. It may be acceptable in my family's sight, even my church family's sight. But the question is, are we trying to get to that spot where it's acceptable in God's sight? So in Colossians chapter 3 is a great chapter of the Bible. Of course, they're all great, but there is so much in this that it would take numerous sermons to do it justice, but we're going to try reading through it, and we're going to give some illustrations and some application here, but it's still the same part. If we're going to clear our minds out, as we talked about this morning, what are we thinking about? The Bible talks about in Philippians 4:8 what we're supposed to think about. And whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So we come to that spot. Most of us know that. Most of us understand that. But we stay away from that. Is that what we really think about? You look at that and he says, look, this is what I want you to think about. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Is that really our desire? Or are we just happy with the way we live? Is it really our goal over here to say, hey, look, now I want the words of my mouth, I want the meditations of my heart to be acceptable to God? Colossians chapter 3 has a lot of principles in it, and there's one that we're going to focus in, but has a lot of things in there to help us understand how to get to the spot where we can bring into captivity, where the peace of God can rule in our hearts. And there's a lot of richness in these verses, but there are a few things I want us to focus on, but we're going to try reading through the whole chapter. Some of it we will go through quickly. Others we'll spend a little bit extra time with. But the title of this evening's message, you can be acceptable in thy sight, part 2, or probably better off, it'd be called, put off these things. Put off these things. If we're really truly going to get rid of those things that is not acceptable to God, those things that are in our heart, in our mind, that causes us to be overwhelmed and causes us to be harmful to ourselves, there are certain things we got to take off and certain things we need to put on. See, to clear your mind of harmful thoughts, you must begin by eliminating negative words from your mouth. That is why we're going to focus on things that we should put on and put off, as it talks about in Colossians chapter 3. Like one preacher put it this way, like a rudder on a ship or a bridle on a horse, your words give direction to your life. That's in the book of James. Both are death and life are in the power of the tongue, says in the book of Proverbs. Your speech may give birth or it may kill. This is why you must be deliberate on how you utilize words. Start speaking words of life instead of words of death. Your speech is programming you and everyone around you. To remove wrong thoughts from your mind, begin eliminating wrong words from your mouth. Consider it this way. Praying is talking to God. Meditation is when we talk to ourselves. A conversation is when we talk to others. And our tongue is a little member, but it has huge consequences in our prayer life, our meditation, and our conversations. Words can kill dreams and friendships and even faith. And there's a warning out there in James chapter 3. He says, and the tongue is a fire in a world of iniquity. Later on, the same passage, it defileth the whole body. Later on, it says, and it is set on fire of hell. It's important that we understand if we're going to have a clear mind to think on these things as we should, there are certain things we got to get rid of. There are certain things we got to, and that's where it comes to this spot about forgiveness, about forbearance, about forgetting things. It's a challenging thing to do, but if we are focusing on hurts and wounds, we are going to continue on grumbling and not being thankful and grateful for the things that God's given us. Our greatest battlefield, the war for the saints, is largely between our ears, but we have powerful weapons that can help us. It can rip down the strongholds. We are not a victim of our fate. Our thoughts are not predetermined. When you feel out of control and your mind racing, we can enjoy the powerful weapons that are at our disposal, and we can bring everything into the right heart spirit. The hurts and wounds we have suffered does not deserve our mental airtime. So why do you say that? It's because the Bible says what we're supposed to focus on. But what gets our most of our mental airtime? Those things that we're angry about, those things that we're resentful, and if we dwell on those things. It's interesting, the passage of Scripture, it talks about dwelling. Look what it says in verse 16, if you will. It says, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. If we let the word of Christ dwell in us, it means to live there. It means to stay there. As we mentioned this morning, there are some things parked in our mind, in our thought lives, or in our heart that we just need to get rid of. We need to pull them out. We need to tow them away. But if we continue to let those things dwell there instead of what we're supposed to let dwell there, we're never going to see the peace of God that ruling in our heart. We're never going to be able to teach and admonish each other in spiritual ways. Instead, it's going to be something that demands things and generates anger, generates resentment. Don't let injuries define you. Don't let someone else's hurt make you a different individual. We must stop walking down these corridors and these painful memories in our own mind. We need to choose to believe what the Bible says. We need to come to the spot and say, I'm not going to let this define me. Instead, I'm going to let the Word of God establish who God wants me to be. Let's go ahead and jump in here. Chapter number 3, verse number 1. Some of you may even know this verse. I know some that even makes this their life verse. If ye then be risen with Christ, and once again, that if is not talking about a possibility, but more since you are risen with Christ, it gives you that idea. If ye then be risen with Christ, since you are, there's some things you should do. Seek those things which are above. That word seeking, it's an interesting word. It gives an idea of urgency. It gives an idea of a desire, an ambition. There should be some excitement about what? What should we be seeking? Seek those things which are above. Talking about heavenly things, not earthly things. It says, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Then it says, set your affections. This idea of affection means to exercise our mind. That is to entertain or have a sentiment or opinion about. So what are we supposed to set our affection on? What are we supposed to put our mind on? Is it the things that we've been hurt by, the things we've been disappointed in, the things that we need to release and give over to God? It says what we're supposed to set our affection on are things above, not on things of the earth. This is what we're supposed to work on. Because look at what it says here. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Hid with Christ gives this idea that I'm now in Christ. No longer am I in that Adamic race. I've been baptized into the family of God, into in Christ. And now I'm in Christ. That's where my life is. I should live out my life in its fullness and let Christ rule and live his life out through me. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall also appear with him in glory. I know we're going through these verses quickly, but we want to get to a couple certain ones. Now, verse 5 is, mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, consumptuous, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So that word mortify, you say that's a creepy word. It is, to put to death. It's to deaden. It's to get no longer feed it the power. I don't know much about power tools and the cars and vehicles, but I know if you stop giving something gas, it cannot keep on going. If you're sitting out there in your car and you're there, you're driving, you take your foot off the gas, sooner or later it's going to stop. Hopefully if you use the brake, it's going to stop where it's supposed to. If you don't, you're going to probably run into something. Whether it's a motorcycle and continue on giving it fuel, whether it's the weed eater that you're out there and you're weed eating and there's a little button there that causes the power to come up and come through and cause it to work, you can stop that. You can kill it. You know, that's what sometimes when there's something that is going bad or going wrong, maybe the sound system's going crazy. Of course, that never happens. This morning, I don't know what's happening, nor Miss Molly's, when she was singing this morning, something kept on buzzing. I turned my microphone on, and I know it didn't have anything to do with it because we were so far apart, and I started hearing this buzzing, so I turned it off. So that couldn't have been it. I turned it back on. It did it again. So you know what I did? I killed it. I took the battery. I took the life away from it. I shut it off. And so I turned it on when I walked up to the pulpit. Usually during the special music, when I'll turn it on, so I'll just walk right up and get ready and start preaching. But I turned it off. Why is that? Because I didn't want to give it life. And when it's saying here, there are certain things we should mortify in our lives. There are certain things we should not give life to. We should not give energy to. We should not give strength to. This is something that it talks about here. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, consumptuousness, and covetousness, which is idolatry. These are things we must stop feeding. And when it comes to the things in our life that God tells us we should not be thinking about, we must stop giving it time in our hearts and time in our minds. We must learn to forbear, forgive, and be willing to, where we can, forget. And we'll talk about that probably a little bit more in future weeks as we consider this idea of forgiveness. But tonight, we're going to look about putting off these things. Look what it says in verse 6. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked sometime when you lived in them. So he says, deaden this. Get rid of the things in verse number 5. These things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. And it says, there was a time in your life in the which you also walked some time when you lived in them. Go to Ephesians chapter number 2, and you look at that, and it talks about how we are in bondage in sin, and we did all these things, that children of disobedience. This is what our life used to be as a non-believer. But look what it says here in verse number 8. But now, I like those words, but now, there's a difference. You used to walk in those ways. You used to have to do those things. You used to have no control. You used to have being in bondage and there was no hope. You were the enemy of God. You were dark. And now he says, but now, ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. There is something that we need to put off. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. So these are things, and I don't know about you, and I'm not trying to read into it to make it work for the sermon, but these are things that comes from our heart and comes from our mind. This anger that comes to the point where you're talking about sudden outbursts, and this wrath is what happens when we don't deal with our anger, and this malice, which is an ill will towards somebody else, a desire to injure, a desire to get revenge towards, it continues to grow. And then you see the blasphemy and the filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another. Don't be lying and trying to convince others of your problems and your sin and the things that is okay when God says this should not be even in your heart, should not be in your mind. Get rid of these things. Take it off, that you have put off the old man and his deeds. And then it says here, verse 10, and have put on the new man. Put on the new man. And it's kind of interesting. There's something you take off and there's something you replace it with. So if we're going to have victory in our thought life, if we're going to bring everything into captivity, every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, if we're going to think on these things, honest things, just things, pure things, lovely things, things that are of good report, things that are virtue, I'm going to release those things in the past. I'm not going to sit there and harbor that. That's not going to dictate who I am. I'm going to let the Word of God dictate who I am. And I'm going to let these things, what things are those? Those things that we're supposed to be putting on, those things that are, it says, and put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. And then verse number 11, it goes and says, it doesn't even matter who you are. It says, whether you're Greek, it says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, I don't know how to pronounce that word. I was going to look it up, but I didn't. So Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. He says it doesn't matter if you're Greek, doesn't matter if you're Jew, it doesn't matter if you're a barbarian, which means that you were not a Greek, which would be considered heathen or a Gentile. And then that other word, that Scythian word, whatever that is talking about, yes, they're the barbarian. Then there's the ones that act really barbaric about the different things they do and how they were uncivilized people and how they were very different times, people that were very ugly and did things that were very vicious. He says, look, if you come from the Greek or from the Jew or whether you've been circumcised or uncircumcised, all that doesn't matter. It's Christ is in all. It says here, Christ is all and in all, that you can have victory. Even if you have a background of having a father that was angry or having a mother that was bitter, you know, in Christ, you can have victory. It doesn't matter if you came from the best home or you come from the worst home. It doesn't matter if you grew up and was part of the Jewish traditions and were circumcised or uncircumcised. You can take off those things as a believer. You can leave those things behind, and you can put on, look what it says in verse number 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So what the scripture is saying here, there are things that we must take off, and there are things we must put on. If we do not replace those things that are in our heart and that are in our mind that should not be in there, that's been parked there maybe for years, and they have dictated us, they have made, this is the type of church member I'm going to be, this is the type of husband and father, wife, daughter, whatever it is, son, this is who I am because of what's in my mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. He says you need to get rid of those things that are not worth being there and put on the things that have been described there in the scriptures. Then it says in verse 16, sorry, you can't forget verse 14, I'm sorry. Verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. This is what we're supposed to put on. We're supposed to put on the bond, let's put on charity, love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God, and I love this, the peace of God rule in your hearts. The peace of God does not rule in our hearts when we're thinking on the wrong things. It doesn't. If when we're thinking on the wrong things, we're concerned, we're worried, we're upset, we're angry, we're all these things. And then it continues on, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. And I don't want to simplify it. I do not want to overstate it. But if we stop grumbling and start thanking, instead of brooding over our hearts and begin to give thanks for our blessings, if we stop troubling on what we have lost and be grateful for what we have, since our mind and our spirit, they are connected, each influence one another. And our innermost thoughts, if we are thanking the Lord and praising the Lord and speaking the right words and the thoughts that are the meditations that are acceptable to God, we can come to the point where it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Dwelling is this idea of a habitation that is settled in you. That the word of God is the thing that has settled into your life and has settled into your heart and settled into your mind. Instead of these things that have caused so much frustration and so much anger and has robbed us of our joy and robbed us of our effectiveness for the Lord. We come to the spot that God is dwelling, the word of God is dwelling in us richly. Not just some verses, not just some things that we try to banter with and try to pull apart. This is my favorite verse, and I'm going to beat somebody over the head with it. The Word of God isn't there to beat somebody over the head with. The Word of God is there to show and teach and correct and instruct. And it continues on to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Then look what it says, teaching and admonishing one another But look how it's done. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's beautiful. And some other time we might look at that a little bit more, but we want to focus on what we're supposed to put into our heart and our mind. We're supposed to let the Word of God dwell in us richly. But look at the way that teaching and admonishing happens. It happens in a spirit of correction. It helps us, but it also happens in a way that is sweet and done with grace. And then verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. I like that. What does that mean? Whatever we do in the name of the Father. Can we, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus? Can we really say that today? I can watch that in the name of the Lord. I can listen to that. I can say that. I can have those thoughts in the name of the Lord. He says, whatever you do. Whatsoever, and that's an interesting word. You go and look up the word whatsoever and look at the different things. That means everything. And then it begins to give the hard verses. Verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. So as we're putting things, taking things off and putting things on, let's do it unto the Lord. Now, just a little side note, you know, those verses in verses 18 all the way down to verse number 22, those instructions that are given, they're applications for all of us, you know, wives, husbands, children, fathers, servants. I want to encourage you to set a place to where you can help people succeed. I've seen many people that get angry with young people that are not obeying their parents or obeying the rules and guidelines, but they have not considered loving their wife for years. They have not considered submitting to their husband in years. But they turn around and say, hey, it says you need to obey your parents. You need to get this. I understand that. And I get that. But as we are many times with the expectation we have for others, we forget, is this really what I'm applying my life to and my heart to also? And then when it comes to servants, obeying all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service. We're not doing it to try to please others. That's not the point. It's we're trying to please the Lord with our lives. And we're doing it heartily as to the Lord. And if we can't do it heartily as unto the Lord, we need to consider what we're doing. We should come to church with an enthusiasm and be heartily in our service and our worship. And if there's some reason why we can't do that, we need to seek out that reason and we need to fix that. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. It's this thought pattern. Knowing of the Lord, I am going to receive what I deserve. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he have done. And there is no respect to persons. So there's a judge there that's the Lord, and these are those that we are serving. And whether we do right as we serve the Lord Christ or whether we do wrong, we're going to receive the rewards of those things. So what does this have to do with having victory in our thought life? Let's go back and just look for a few moments at this idea of putting off and putting on. I think one of the things that helps us understand is sometimes an object lesson. I tell my sons who are studying to be preachers, Be better at telling illustrations, telling stories, because I'm not the greatest at that. And I feel bad for you guys sometimes because that's not always my forte. But there was an object lesson I thought of, the Lord kind of brought to my mind. I remember reading it years ago. It's the idea when you take something off, it means you actually take it off. Look what it says here. It says now, verse 8, but now ye also put off these. Anger, wrath, malice, blaspheming, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. So you think about it. If I take my jacket off, what I've done is I've taken something off. I've set it aside. I'm gonna come back to it because it's one of my suits. I want to keep it. But I've taken something and I have put it off. There are certain things in our life that we need to actually on purpose take off. And that's what it's saying here. If we got an anger problem, take it off. If our anger has called us to become wrathful, get rid of it. If the malice and we are interested in injuring and harming, and there's blaspheming and there's filthy communication coming in our mouth, let us get rid of those things. Let us take off those things. Let us not have a part of it. Let us clear out our heart. Let us clear out our mind. Let us refuse those things, because the things that we learn in Philippians 4:8, is this thing true? Is this thing honest? Is this thing just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it of a good report? Is it virtue? If there be any praise, think on these things. If we're focused on this, is this what we should be thinking about? Is this, should this be what's dictating my heart and my time? Because if we allow something to sit there and fester and fester, if we brood over things, what's going to happen? It's not going to turn out well. We got to be careful. But it's not just taking something off. It actually talks about putting something else on. So I took one jacket off. We left something behind. We don't want to have anything to do with it. We've taken it. We've left it over there. And now we've, on purpose, made a choice. I truly believe forgiveness is not an emotion. I truly believe forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness hurts at times. You think about when Christ died on the cross. I know the crosses are back there. Christ died on the cross. It hurt him. The forgiveness of our sin took a lot. And our forgiveness, sometimes when we forgive and we forbear, and that idea, you say, Pastor, you use the word forbear. Forbear gives this instance of, if you're willing to acknowledge something that has annoyed you, but you're just willing to let it go. You say, what do you mean? Well, for instance, every time I do something wrong, if I'm there with my wife and I do think something that annoys her, she could choose to, Brian, hey, what about that? Hey, Brian, hey. And I'd be saying sorry all the time. But if it's little things that I would just, she would just say, hey, I'm not going to let that bother me. I'm not going to let that dwell. I'm just going to let it go. And I'm forbearing that. I'm just not even demanding apology. I'm just going to say that I'm not going to let something that simple and that small bother me to the point that I'm going to go to somebody. But when it talks about, and which is our theme for the verse for the week, it goes verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And the important thing to remember when we talk about forgiveness, and we're going to bring that up in a few weeks, is we're not forgiving because that person deserves it. We're forgiving because God has commanded us to. You think about the way God forgives us. Ephesians 4:32, it says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, those last few words are, have forgiven you. God the Father did not forgive us because of the fact that for our sakes. He forgave us because of what Christ did. And when we're looking at someone and they don't deserve our forgiveness, we're not forgiving them because our eyes are focused on how they harmed us and what they did to us. Our eyes are focused on God. Yes, we see what they've done. They have hurt us and what they've done. But our forgiveness is not based off of their activity. Our forgiveness is for, like God said, for Christ's sake. Just as Christ has forgiven us, so do ye also. So also do ye. So as we look at that and we understand God forgives us because of the work that Christ has done on the cross, we are forgiven for Christ's sake. I forgive those who hurt me and injure me because God has commanded me to. I make that choice. I take off being anger. I take off the wrath. I take off the malice. I take off the lying to one another. I get rid of those things that are dwelling in my mind that is causing me not to put on the new man. It's causing me not to put on the loving, the kindness. If you go back to it in verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness, mind, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. I am taking off those things that he says is not helping me, and I'm putting on those things that God says is going to make a difference. So just like tomorrow or tonight, when you go home, you're going to take off your clothes to go to bed. Most people aren't dressed in their Sunday clothes. They're not going to wear them to bed. I know some of us might fall asleep in the recliner or might fall asleep while they're watching something or listening to something, and then you have to drag yourself to bed. But most of us will take things off and put something different on that's appropriate. And as we're ever going to get things right in our mind and get things right in our head, there are certain things we must learn to take off. And not only does it talk about it in verse number 8, there's things in verse number 5, mortify therefore, deaden, put to death. Don't give it gas. Don't give it life. Don't give it power. Get rid of it in your heart and mind. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil consumptiveness, and covetousness, which are idolatry. These are things we must used to walk in. We used to live that way, but we have taken those off. We do not need those things, and we need to make sure we're not dwelling on those things, because that's where the anger, the wrath, the malice comes from. That's where the evil communications come from. That's when we begin to talk about other people. There's all different forms of evil communication. Lie not to one another. Don't have evil communications. They'll go around talking about somebody if they're not able to defend themselves. It's just not right. It's gossip. It's something that you should work on, and you take those things. You take those things on purpose. You make a choice. Nobody magically is going to get into their pajamas and take off their church clothes. It's not going to happen. Hey, I'm home. I've entered into my bedroom. It's going to happen automatically. It doesn't happen that way. But what happens is we decide, I'm not going to wear a suit to bed. I'm not going to wear a tie to bed. I'm not going to wear my dress shoes to bed. I'm going to take something off, and I'm going to lay it aside, and I'm going to say, here, this is something I do not plan on using, and I'm going to pick up what I'm going to use and put something else on. So in our faith here, what they're saying is there are certain things we need to take off. There are certain things we need to put on. And I truly believe in our mind and with our heart, there are certain things that we need to take off and get out of our hearts and get out of our minds. If you look in the scriptures, is there a spot that says we're not supposed to forgive? We'll look at that in a little while, probably the next couple weeks. Is there a spot in there that says, hey, what if they don't ask me for forgiveness? Do I have to forgive them? I know that we can't let bitterness in our heart. So we must at some point in time, in some way, be able to at least forgive in our own heart, even though how we treat them may be differently, because if they have not accepted forgiveness or asked for forgiveness, those are all things we'll probably look at in a few weeks. But what does the Bible say in our verse? Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Forgive. Look past what they've done and look to the Savior. As for Christ's sake, he has forgiven you. I want to encourage you tonight. If we truly want to have a life where our minds are going to be acceptable, words of my mouth, it's never going to happen until our hearts are right. The meditation of my heart, I want this to be acceptable. These things, it's not acceptable. The anger, the wrath, the malice, the evil communications, the lying one to another, the allowing these things to dwell in my mind, these are the things I think on. I need to get rid of it. I need to set it aside, and I need to leave it over there. And then I need to go and put on what he has called me to think about. He said, well, what are those things that we're supposed to think about? Think about things that are pure and just. If you go and you look at that, it's the Word of God. It is, those are things that are supposed to be dwelling in our mind. Those are things that are supposed to take up residency. Those are things that, when it says in verse 16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, they have taken ownership inside your mind and your head. Not the things you've taken off, not the things you've allowed to sit and fester and stay there, and it's so easy to do. Those are the things that we think about. I know I mentioned it this morning, how much would our relationships be different if we would forgive and we started treating people as if we've forgiven and we never plan on bringing it up ever again. I am not going to treat my mate like this anymore because they made a mistake. They've asked for forgiveness. I'm going to forgive, and I'm going to, and what that idea of forgetting means, I'm never going to bring that up again. I'm not going to treat them the way that they did that to me. Boy, how much of a difference it would be if we would treat each other with that type of forgiveness. Now, in a few weeks, we might look at a little bit more. Well, do I have to put myself in a spot where I'm harmed? I'm not saying that. and we can look at that a little bit more. It's important to understand what forgiveness in God's eyes and what it means to forgive an individual. And I understand what forgetting is. It's not, I'm giving up my rights. I'm laying down my rights to say, you hurt me and you did this to me. That's what forgiveness means. Doesn't mean that we forget in the idea that I'm going to turn around and let somebody abuse me continuously. But it does mean that I'm going to forgive. What is in your heart? What is your mind? What has been parked in your mind for so long that you do not think about the things that are pure and that you do not think about the things that are just and that you do not think about those things that are lovely and those things that are of good report? What is it that we focus on? What is it that we spend most of our time on? Is there someone I should forgive? Is there something I need to get out of my heart and get out of my mind? I need to clear my mind of these harmful thoughts. I need to get rid of these negative words that are coming from my mouth. What is it that we need to take off tonight? What is it that we need to take off and leave at the altar and never pick up again? You say, Pastor, it's going to keep on coming up in my mind. 70 times 7. Keep on forgiving. Just keep on forgiving. It's going to keep on coming up. That's I truly believe 70 times 7, 490. It gets easier and easier to forgive as you keep on responding that way. It's seek those things which are above. Not those things that are on the earth. So tonight, what is it that we're supposed to take off? What is it that we are, God saying, there are certain things we should take off in our life. What are some things we're supposed to put on? There are certain things, he says, get rid of. And there's a lot longer to list, and there's a list in Galatians, there's a list in Ephesians. It gives that same type of thought. Put on this, take off that. Is there something in our life that we should be taking off? Now, and it could be some type of sin. It could be some type of entertainment. It could be something, but this is what we're talking about in our minds and our hearts. What's dwelling? Why am I allowing this to dictate my thoughts? Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The greatest battle is between our ears. It's our minds. It's our heart. What are we going to do? We got this goal. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So let us say this week, I'm going to accept the challenge. And I'm going to ask myself and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal unto me, is what I'm doing acceptable? And ask God to show me, well, how can a man know his faults? How can he cleanse me from secret faults? You know, help me with those presumptuous sins. Don't let them have dominion over me. At least come to the moment and time in our life when we realize what I'm thinking about is not right. It's not acceptable to God. And then obviously the choice should be, of course I'm going to make it acceptable. Of course I need to take that off. But at least ask God to help you see those areas where we might not even realize our thoughts like we talked about this morning. And they might be secret faults that where we don't even see what we're doing is wrong because it's been in our mind for so long. I don't see how you think it's right to tell somebody they have to forgive somebody. I didn't say it. God did. And this presumptuous sin that you said was arrogant this morning is something I just have to do. It's because of who I am. No. Take those things off. Leave them somewhere. Put them out there in the gutter where they belong. And put on the new man that Christ has given you. And you're in Christ so you can live that life that's pleasing to him. Put these things off. Or is there something tonight you should take off? Leave it here. Leave it with him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us tonight. Help us to take those things off. I know today's sermons have been, if we're going to take them to heart, can be very challenging. There are things that the battle for our minds, most of us just say, hey, it's just in my mind, I'm not hurting anyone. But the Scriptures tells us, think on these things. The Scripture says, let the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. The Scripture says that we can bring into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. What a challenge, Lord. Help us to take those things off that are stopping us from having freedom in our thought life. God, we need you tonight. Speak to our hearts. I need you, Lord. Lord, help me to be willing to forgive. And Lord, forget those things that people have asked for forgiveness for. And Lord, help me to move forward in my life and not allow anger and bitterness and malice and blasphemy and all those things that he says take off. Let me not let those things dwell in my mind. Let me desire, seek after, as it talked about in verse 1, seek after those things which are above. Help me to seek after, to have the word of Christ to dwell richly in my mind and in my heart.